a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets and the back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. Your host, John Stadtmiller. We're talking to you today from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network in almost beautiful downtown Round Rock, Texas, on the 17th day of March, 2005. And it's amazing. I just had it's a good thing I looked up, because the either I was late or I was transferred to a different time zone. I had to replace the clock last week. What was it? What was it last week? It was the date it was off. Today it was the time. I'm going through monumental time shift here, folks. As always, on Thursdays, Desi Andrews and Dr. William Veith in studio. I've got Marcia Dewar out there on the road someplace doing something.
Maybe we can catch her at her phone soon.
Well, catch her in between,
Between roadhouses.
Between roadhouses. Folks, it's the game that we play. We file paperwork, and then we got to run. And then we file paperwork, and then we got to run. We're going to be talking about something today on the program that how do you guys describe this one? Man, this is...
This is going to come. I want you to go to this website because I don't know what website it is, because.
How can I go to it?
I don't know.
Well, it's too big of a table for me to walk around and look at it right now.
I didn't copy the website down.
Oh, okay.
So I copied this onto a file.
All right. And the file is? What are we talking about here?
Money,
that I can't
money,
see?
Money, money. Oh, money. Excuse me. I fell asleep there, John. Money. So you and anybody else that's at a... Well, can they use a computer and listen to us, too?
Absolutely.
Okay. You and anybody else out there needs to go to... I guess this is from the U.S. Treasury, and pull up the page that shows the money. It's on banknotes under the U.S. Treasury. And I forget what I... And I forgot what I put in to bring it up. What?
He'll put it on my computer screen when she's on.
All right.
See, we're high tech.
Well, I was busy looking at this $2 bill.
What would you do, Desi, without a computer?
Oh, man. I haven't the foggiest.
And I've never known a person that relies so much on a computer and doesn't know how to operate it. Such, I thought I was the dumbest guy out here.
I know how to operate it. I just didn't pay attention to the website. I know enough to go to the website and copy it down so I can have it on my hard drive, John.
That works.
I mean.
Yeah, that works.
He's trying to impugn me, guys. Everybody out there holler, boo, John.
Yeah, you're unimpugnable. Is that a word? If not, I just invented it. At any rate, folks, we got the break coming up. We should have Marcia Dewar online here.
We could be slap happy today.
We're going to put a supposition to the listening audience today and see if this makes sense to you. One nation under God. Now, how does the government feel that what is God and what have they done with God? It's not what you may think. We'll tell you about that right after this break.
What?
Okay. My doctor was truly amazed at the improvements my heart showed after my heart attack. Thank you, Cartavite.
I was having a hard time breathing and had to rest in the afternoons, but since Cartavite, that's all changed now. I've had chronic fatigue for 12 years now and decided to try Cartavite. Boy, it's improved my energy dramatically.
Cartavite.
We all use Cartavite.
Ladies and gentlemen, Heart Drop 2000 presents Cartavite. Cartavite is an all-natural supplement which is made up of our own special blend of herbs gathered from many different parts of the world, specially designed to improve your health. Come on and care about yourself just a little more with Cartavite. You can find more information at www.cardovite.us or call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822.
Cartavite is a natural thing. Gives you the edge like you've never seen. It makes you feel good. Go to bites.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
At 11:40 p.m. on April the 14th, 1912, while plowing recklessly through an ice field, the HMS Titanic collided with an iceberg. 2 hours later, she was resting on the bottom. Today you are on a similar ship, the USS America. She too is plowing through history, promoting reckless fiscal and monetary policies amid tides of terrorism that threaten our security, and there is a storm brewing as if even nature was against us. Like the Titanic, we're on course with a similar destiny. The question is, what are you going to do? Hop aboard our well-provisioned lifeboat with Ready Reserve Foods. Contact Ready Reserve Foods and ask how you can prepare your family with the basic survival needs. Call 1-800-453-2202 for great tasting, dehydrated foods that require no refrigeration and keep preserved for years. Preparedness never made more sense than it does today. Call 1-800-453-2202 and stock your lifeboat.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
We're back trying desperately to get your computer hooked up to the high-speed internet. Are you online yet?
Yep.
Oh, good. See how quick and easy
yep.
that is? Yeah, now you need the microphone. Okie dokie.
I can't get it all.
We've got this moneyfactory.com is the website, and you were talking about the website, and why does this hold significance here?
Well, I want you to look at all the money. If you, first of all, before there's something that's not on the website, is I'm going to give you a 1935.
Yeah, what she's giving me here is a $1 silver certificate, and it's the G series, I do believe. Yeah, 1935, and this is the one that says that, and this is the 1935. Now, this certificate, legal tender for all debts, public and private, it's the same stuff they have stamped on. The bill is exactly identical until you flip it over on the backside and see all the luminous stuff on the back. And there's one thing missing. Now, the ink appears to be a little different green color, but that's not the significant part. We have the United States of America that's on the back of the bill. And then right below that, you have on the 1957 B series, In God We Trust. On the 1935, it ain't there.
Nope, we didn't trust in God in 1935. Do you think that's a good thing or bad thing? Marcia, you on?
On.
Do you think that's a good thing in 1935 we didn't trust in God?
Well, I don't know who we trusted in 1935, but the declared trust subsequent to that is an interesting factor.
By the way, this voice on the other end of the line, somewhere out there in the wilderness, is Marcia Duer. How are you doing today, Marcia?
Great. How are things out there in Radioland?
A lot more stable than what you're in right now.
Hi, Marcia.
Hi.
Since you're on the road somewhere, we have no idea where, beaming in from Mars. Before we get into the money, because we can discuss that when you're gone and you have a limited time today, what I wanted to discuss with you today, Marcia, was deeds of trust and how they work. I think people can understand about the money a little bit better if we explain about what we think about deeds of trust. Are you game?
Well, sure. I can tell you what I know. I thought we were talking about the biodiversity treaty, so I'm all prepared for that.
Oh, all right, then go to the biodiversity treaty. We'll come back to deeds of trust.
Bill, I just sat in somebody else's show here. I have absolutely no idea what the heck's going on. Well, you ladies,
I don't either.
You ladies just go wherever you want to, and I'll just rein you back in when it's commercial time.
Okay, go ahead, Marcia.
Go ahead, Marcia.
Well, last week, as I recall, we were talking about the issue where they're building the toll roads around in Austin.
Right.
And we were talking about how that all relates back, and we see a bigger picture when we start looking at the United Nations and the Biodiversity Treaty. So somewhere in my mind, I thought we were probably picking up some of that conversation.
Okay, let's do it. You do it.
Well, I did some research on the Biodiversity Treaty to find out what had actually happened and actually quite a major study into it to see, because I have not even touched on the treaty since the early 90s to see what was going on. And we talked about the maps where I saw that we actually had maps that we could see the corridors between the areas of habitation. It really all had to do with environmental movements and things that we saw at that time as being very much impacted by our administrations during that period of time. And what I found was that they're talking about that the Biodiversity Treaty was defeated in the Senate. That doesn't necessarily mean that the provisions of the treaty haven't been implemented through some of our legislations. For instance, the Biodiversity Treaty appeared first although we saw it in 1994, and it came through 1992 to 1994 through the United Nations conferences. It was really quite started in by the conservation and the Audubon Society way back as far as 1981. So we see it coming through environmental provisions and as a biodiversity in saving the planet and the species for biological diversities. It really lines out quite an enormous plan for what they call ecosystem management. And we see roads being built and areas of habitation. I have not yet been able to find the map on it. And they say that it was defeated in this country because it was passed 16-3, and the Senate Foreign Relations Committee approved it. But then 3 months later, on September 30th, the Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell actually withdrew the convention from the Senate calendar, and it just is kind of in the background while we're seeing other things emerge and the treaty being it's still in the convention is still there. And I did find the convention. It's called the Convention on Biological Diversity, where it begins to talk about how humans impact the planet and what kind of control that the United Nations can literally have on the impact that humans have on the planet.
And it was called what?
It's called the Convention on Biological Diversity.
Okay.
The convention is basically dated 5 June 1992. But the United States is not one of the nations who is listed as already having ratified this convention. It's apparently still sitting in the Senate, just waiting for the right time for the where we don't have basically any rights to object to it.
But aren't they implementing it?
Well, they're not directly. I wouldn't say they're directly implementing it, but the actions, as I've seen from researching through United Nations actions going all the way back to 1957, they just table it until they bring, like we talked about last week, we have language, Habitat for Humanity. We have language coming into our culture. So what they do first is they change the language in our mindset. They basically wag the dog. They bring an understanding. We start speaking the language. All of a sudden, we're thinking in the terms that are acceptable to bringing the conventions forward.
And so what you're saying, basically, with a term or phraseology that we're used to, they just make it theirs.
Yeah, we need to stop and think. I remember the first time somebody says, well, we're having a meeting and we're going to be discussing a Habitat for Humanity. Now, in that, I could hear, because way back when Gore was in and he was just Mr. Environmental Guy, we started hearing terms creep in that really isn't, that's not what I call a home for a family.
Well, I thought Habitat for Humanity came in with Carter.
Well, it came way back, yes,
This guy, he was the photo op. You saw him many times,
right,
banging a hammer on boards or whatever,
right.
Yeah.
And the Audubon Society and all these, you know, like we have all the bleeding hearts coming in and saying, oh, save the caribous up on the tundras. And I had somebody actually come to the door one time, a young person in early 20s. And of course, in our schools, we see, you know, oh, we've got to go out and we've got to volunteer on the public lands and we've got to do all these social programs. And we're teaching these terms through the school system so that people coming in through the next generation are already indoctrinated through these terms. I mean, they table these treaties if there's any resistance at all, and I saw major resistance in the communities that actually interact with the public lands when they started just implementing some of these biodiversity rulings. But so when they have any resistance, what they do is bring the language in, indoctrinate the young people. Then the young people get into a position where they're now speaking the language, and it's much easier to bring the treaties into the without the resistance of the people who actually see it in as an imposition over the surface of something that they don't want. We don't want these biodiversity treaties, and we have these people who are still running around with their Mickey Mouse ears saying, oh, well, the UN is doing such a great job. I emailed to Desi the other day. I opened up the UN site, and on the top left-hand corner of the homepage for the organizational structure of the UN site was this little block that was the top of the head of the organizational structure. It said, trusteeship.
I didn't see that. I didn't know what you were talking about.
Well,
is it on that
little,
page there? Oh, okay.
A little block up there that says trusteeship, because we were talking basically about, you know, what trust are we in? It's all a function of trust. And we've got some declared and some undeclared, some presumed, some that happened even before we got here that were trusts formed for whose benefit we're questioning. And so I opened up the UN in the page. At the top left-hand corner is a little block that says trusteeship. Now, in another section that I found that I actually sent to Desi probably while she was on her way over to the studio, I found an email that she had sent me sometime back in July of last year, where we were discussing administrative procedures, and we were discussing setting evidence through the administrative procedures and gathering administrative remedies. And at the last page of that little administrative law, it said, by the way, this is one of our fellow researchers, and he's saying, our hearing in 1997 determined that the IRS is a pure trust of the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. Well, if we can begin to see that Puerto Rico and some of these territories and are outside, and we are beginning to see...
Marcia, I don't know if
ahead.
We can hear that music. We've got to take a break. Just chill out for a few minutes.
I will hold on.
All right, we'll be right back.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Do you want to plant a garden that just keeps on giving year after year? Then visit the Ark Institute and find out about their all-natural vegetable seeds. Now, these aren't hybrids. They're not genetically engineered. They're the real thing. And you'll grow the best produce you've ever grown. Not only that, you can save seeds from this year's garden and plant them next year. Now, here's the deal. The Ark Institute is offering Republic listeners free shipping on their complete collection of 40 non-hybrid heirloom seeds, plus their best-selling gardening how-to manual, Build Your Ark. A complete family food security package is just $99, and remember, shipping is free. Oh, you'll have enough for canning and freezing and fresh eating and some seeds for next year. Now, that is food security. Call the Ark Institute, 1-800-255-1912. That's 1-800-255-1912. Or visit arkinstitute.com. Do it today.
Back. National Intel Report, Desi Andrews in studio, Dr. Bill B. On the road someplace out there. Where? What state are you in right now, Marcia Dewar?
State of confusion.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, before the break, you were leading up to a point, you were talking about trust.
Yes, well, one of the things that I've also been looking at is how did we get there? Where are we? Sun Tzu says, know yourself, know your adversary, and victory is assured. And what I found is that really, and this is going to come as a big surprise to a lot of people, the American people, the people themselves inside the states are not a party to the Constitution. The states were the incorporators of the Constitution, and the Constitution acts between the federal government and the states. So how did the bankers all tie us in to being the people who are really the substance behind the money system, and how is it all set up and structured? And we know from looking also back at the war powers and reading the war powers under the Constitution of the United States of America that the Emancipation Proclamation and all those acts really only acted on the then living slaves or the then living people. How is it that we come forward, that we think that something that was made that I didn't sign acts on me, or that I'm somehow a part of that? And so what we're doing is we're uncovering all of these layers and levels of trusts and trusteeships that are set up that really are the structure of what we're dealing with.
So Al Adask is right when he says everything is a trust relationship.
It appears that way. It appears that we have layers and levels of trust that through, and a lot of them are where we're participating in the trust by using the assets of the trust in our exchange. For example, the Federal Reserve notes. We begin to see that the Uniform Commercial Code, which is now the expression of the law of the money and tradable instruments, we saw that in 1964 it used to be called the Negotiable Instruments Law. Well, I remember being pretty young in 1964, and they were saying, well, bring your notes in, bring your money into the bank, and we're going to trade them into this new money. Well, in 1964 also, significantly, I find in my research, and that's when the Negotiable Instruments Law changed to the Uniform Commercial Code. So not only did the money change, but the law that governed the money changed, and our relationship with it changed.
Plus, Marcia, that in 64 was the last year that they put actual silver in the coinage. After that, after 65 on, there was no silver or gold in any of the coins.
But it's a case of which came first, the chicken or the egg, because the law is the money. The money is the law.
And, yeah, the law is the money and the money is the law. And we go back into some of the other research that we're looking at. And we talked last week about the money being related to all the Jewish banking that came into England at 1066. And I looked at 1066 to see what that was. It was the Battle of Hastings when William the Conqueror came in, and he had a very short war and took and brought the money system into England at that time. So we have this kind of proprietary, this kind of money law that has been spreading itself through what they call the Lex Mercatoria, or the merchant law, that has been spreading itself through commerce and through exchanges, and now it appears is being managed through the trusteeship by virtue of a treaty called the Bretton Woods Agreement. It's managed now through centrally, it appears, through the United Nations.
So the United Nations is obviously the trustee on the trust at this point.
It appears that that's so. It's obvious to me at this point until or unless new information is brought.
And we know, we sort of have a clue about what the trust is because they tell us who the trust is on the money, do they not?
Well, it appears that it says, "In God we trust."
And so, and
God is in all capital letters. When you look in the legal dictionaries, you don't find God in all capital letters or in all small letters. The only way you find God is with an uppercase G and lowercase O and D.
At least the one we think of as being the deity.
Right. So when we also know that when they put our personal names in all capital letters, that's not us. We typically call it the straw man. Now we think that's a trust also. But anyway, keep going with what you were developing here, Marcia.
Well, it appears to be, and as you like the onion, you keep peeling layers, and you see more layers and more layers and more layers as you're beginning to wake up. We keep embracing the Constitution as if we are a
it's
party
ours.
To the Constitution, like it's mine, like I can use it as a tool.
Instead of saying constitutionally protected rights, and they're the ones that have to protect them, we say it's our Constitution.
Yes, and let's say for the sake of example that Bill and Desi have a contract together, and I try to go into court and say, look, Bill breached the contract because here's the contract, and I try to enforce the contract. For me, that contract is unenforceable.
Right. You have no standing. You have no part. You're not a party to the contract.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's how they get us to be parties to the contract, because we saw when they did the House Joint Resolution 192.
It's got to go, Marcia.
We got to take a break.
Again.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Today, the media is flooded with reports of everything from antibiotic-resistant supergerms to the possibility of a dangerous cold and flu season. What will you do to keep you and your family healthy and safe? There is now a scientifically proven alternative with 7 years of clinical studies called Super Silver Solution. Super Silver's combination of supercharged silver and oxygen has been proven to kill hundreds of bacteria and to be at least up to 300% more effective than any other silver product on the market. Super Silver is the only patented silver product scientifically proven to kill the germs that cause colds, flus, sinus, eye, ear, and respiratory infections, and many more, yet completely safe for everyday use by children and adults of all ages. Call International Health now for a complete information pack with CD at 800-974-1879. Let the power of supercharged silver protect you and your family. That's 800-974-1879. We're so sure it works. In fact, we guarantee you. Call 800-974-1879 or visit supersilver.net.
Looking for a quality shortwave radio without spending hundreds of dollars? The Sanjian 505P shortwave radio is the answer. Featuring continuous tuning for all shortwave frequencies utilizing direct keypad tuning. Dual conversion improves shortwave image for better shortwave reception. Single sideband allows for reception of upper and lower sideband signals. Other features include 45 station memory, auto preset system, auto memory scan, tone controls, dual time display, and adjustable sleep timers. Included accessories, the ANT60 portable shortwave antenna, AC adapter, stereo earbuds, and a soft-sided carrying case. Also a 1-year full factory warranty on parts and labor. All this for only $139. Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Call today.
Want to look good and feel great? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Well, there are things you can do and natural products available that are strong and safer than harsh synthetics. Rediscover ancient secrets with therapeutic grade A essential oils. The molecular structure of essential oils is highly oxygenating in nature, increasing vitality and energy to the body. Our essential oils and supplements are all natural and absolutely pure to help you discover optimal health, essential nutrition, emotional well-being, and effective weight management. Whether using our products or looking for a home-based business, you'll be glad you contacted us by calling 1-800-993-OILS. Therapeutic grade essential oils are emerging as the missing link to modern medicine. That's 1-800-993-6457. You can also visit our website at www.naturesoils.org. That's www.naturesoils.org.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
All right, folks, we're back. If you heard Tuesday's program, we did the Morgellons Research Foundation. And what I didn't get a chance to do, what I didn't get a chance to do was tell the folks out there, you know, we got problems with our water. We've got 40 people here in Austin that we know of right now that are being treated for Morgellons. Nasty stuff. But what I didn't get to tell you was that there is a way that you can, well, be safer drinking your water. And we have a couple of, we got to cut their mics off. Thank you. There we go. You just disappeared. I want to get through this, and I'm hearing bottled water and stuff going on. At any rate, I want to get through this as quick as I can. We have a couple of items on sale. These are not scratch and dent, mind you. These are the British Birkfeld filters, the original stainless steel. These are very, very nice units. And we have them on special. These are not scratch and dents. So if you're looking for water filtration that you have more capacity Big Berkey is fine for some folks out there, but they make the same units, only bigger. The 5-gallon capacity is the that is the Berkfeld Imperial, and that will do up to 120 gallons, and that'll hold 5 gallons at a time. That's regularly $385. We have that on special for $315, okay? And also the Berkfeld Crown, which is a 6.25-gallon capacity. The first one I mentioned has 6 filters in it. Well, the Crown, the Berkfeld Crown, with its 6.25-gallon holding capacity, has 8 super sterile filters. I'll get that one out. And that is on sale regularly. That's $455, and we have that one on special for $375. So, folks, it's not about just drinking what you're cooking with. I mean, give your pets their water, whatever the case may be. I've never trusted the water that comes out of the faucet. And the only time that you ever find out there's a problem with it that they're aware of, oh, that's right, you've heard the boil alerts. Well, forget that, okay? Give us a call today at 800-724-2719 to take advantage of these two specials that we're running on the Berkfeld Imperial. And again, that's 6 super sterile filters, normally priced out at $385, and that's on special for $315. And then the Berkfeld Crown that has 8 super sterile filters in it, normally that's, $455, and we've got that on special for $375. Also, I want to make an announcement. True Seekers meeting is on tonight. Unfortunately, I will not be able to make it down there tonight, and Sandra will not either. And that was kind of an impromptu preparedness. But Alan Wheatgrass is going to be down there and some other fine folks for preparedness. So get down there tonight at Serrano's at IH35 at 7 p.m. Now, I've got my PSAs out here. Let's continue. Now, where were we at with Marcia here?
Marcia, where were you?
Where were we? We were talking about the money being the law, going all the way back to 1066 and the Battle of Hastings and how the real huge context of even just those things we're seeing in our faces today, that and how it all is set up in one trust or another. There's a gentleman by the name of Mana Chamalan, who was a deputy president of the Supreme Court of Israel, and he talks about everything in the Babylonian Talmud is binding on all of Israel, and how that the sages of have interpreted the Talmud, and how, and then you see in 1066 the William the Conqueror bringing that into England and into London, and we see the effect. The Shitar effect on the English law. Now, what is Shitar? S-H-E-T-A-R. The Shitars is really a claim on all of the land and all of the property that is not, no matter whether it's financed and the finances are paid, this interest stays on the land, no matter what the financial condition is of the surface of the land.
Now, and tie this to, if you would, Marcia, tie this to current, so people get an idea of what you're talking about. Is this tied currently to, say, property taxes?
Well, it's stated in, you can, oh yeah, it's stated in, it's tied to all that. And we begin to see that that in even in 1794, when the Revolutionary War happened here, and then George Washington, I mean, it was Benjamin Franklin went over and negotiated loans, because remember, this is well after the 1066, negotiated loans through Denmark, through Sweden, through France, but came literally by way of those countries from England. We're talking about the money and the loans establishing and making us, bringing it into the country, and that law being currently expressed by and through the language of the Uniform Commercial Code.
But that's totally, on the land, that's totally in contradiction to the 1820 Land Patent Act, because Congress allowed, and no corporation could buy land, Congress allowed each man, or I guess men, I don't think they did women, allowed them to buy 160 acres each, and that it was really very strict and severe, because they absolutely would not allow rich people or corporations to buy land, and so they sold under act of Congress the land to the people at that time.
Well, what do you buy land with now?
Well, they
buy
it with gold.
What do you buy anything with? What you buy it with is the financial system, money, or you think you're buying it. You're giving notes, which is a promise to pay at some point in time, and the claim, the original claim on the land, sits with the shatars. So you're using the Uniform Commercial Code, which is a promise. You're coming in as a debtor, as an insolvent, and you're making promise after promise after promise. And so when you use the Federal Reserve note and promise to pay, all you're ever doing is promising to pay.
But if we buy the land in substance, how do we get them to acknowledge that? Because that would mean that we paid for it.
That would mean that we paid for it, and that would mean that we have standing to be outside of the trust of debtors. Now, we also see that the written credit agreement, which is the Jewish shatar, is a lien on the property. Today, that's called a mortgage. Okay? And you can look into that. You can see it in the Georgetown Law Journal, volume number 71, and it's in pages 1179 to 1200. The law review that the Jews are the property of the Norman Anglo-Saxon kings. They were property at the time, and they set up the system. So it's the Norman Anglo-Saxon kings that are still looking today as the ultimate owners of the land.
So when people buy land under mortgage, or even like when they buy their property outright, if they don't buy it in substance, it belongs to somebody else.
Exactly.
How do we cure that?
Well, we have to have substance. We have to have standing to bring substance on an equal basis as a sovereign. Everybody wants sovereignty, wants this, you know, this thing called sovereignty, this elusive thing. Well, what is sovereignty? It is a king acting as a king. Does a king literally bring some borrowed money? Well, if he is he an absolute sovereign? No, he's beholden to whomever he's borrowed the money from. A debtor is the property, is a slave.
But this money has been forced, this lack of money, this thing has been forced upon us, and we use it out of necessity. Can we not make a public announcement that we're not tied to the money, we're bound by the money or its contracts?
I have seen that happen. There's a gentleman over in Houston, Jacques Jacquerin, who has gone down and filed a public notice that says he's using it only under the law of necessity because right now there is no other way to function in our society. So he has made public notice of his objection to being debilitated by the use of the financial system. I've also seen people who have gone and filed on the county records what they call a rejection of the benefits of the Social Security account.
Right.
Because we know that the Social Security is a treaty between the United States and Great Britain that makes the people who are participants in the treaty to be the subjects of Great Britain.
Marcia, has this Jack Jacquerin, has he benefited from that filing that public notice in any way?
I don't know. We'd have to call Jacques and get him to talk about that. I've also seen places in court processes where people have gone down to a notary. They've placed gold or silver, $21, in the hands of a notary. They have signed in front of that notary what's called an asseveration. I now have substance. I have standing to have a substantive conversation with people, and I've seen them take those asseverations and file them into court actions, and they take $21 of silver and count it out there as the judge is sitting on the table and then put it back in their pocket. The judge looks at the asseveration. He literally is adjudicating the money. So if he sees a sovereign on one side and a debtor on the other, he has to see a different relationship. That's why knowing who we are is critical. And the use of the money puts us into a position of disability. That's why it's so basic. It's so hard for people to see because it is so invisible to us. It's like saying to a fish, get out of the water.
Okay, let's we talked during the week about deeds of trust and what they do. Most of the states, some of the states are mortgage states, but most of the states are deed of trust states. And that means that you sign a promissory note, and then you also sign a deed of trust. And so the person that signs the promissory note. Okay, first of all, in a trust, there are three positions: grantor, trustee, and beneficiary.
Right.
So the person who signs the promissory note becomes the grantor of the deed of trust.
Right.
And in the deed of trust, they irrevocably give the title to their property to the trustee to be held in trust until the deed of trust, the conditions of the deed of trust are satisfied.
Right.
So the trustee is supposed to hold the assets of the trust. And
right.
The assets of the trust are?
The assets of the trust are the promissory note and the property.
Okay.
Title.
So who has to hold the promissory note because it's a trust?
The trustee has to hold the promissory note.
Can the trustee give it to the beneficiary?
The trustee, at the completion of the terms and conditions on which he's holding the note, can give it back to the grantor.
But the trustee can never hold the corpus of the trust, correct?
You mean the beneficiary?
I mean the beneficiary.
The beneficiary cannot, and the beneficiary cannot litigate on behalf of the corpus.
Okay, so what happens in the deeds of trust in foreclosure actions is the beneficiary is the original mortgage company or bank or mortgage company. That's what's listed on the deed of trust.
Right.
Now, if the person buys a house, signs a deed of trust, and by the way, the person that signed the grantor is the only one that signs the deed of trust. So
right.
The signer of the promissory note is the grantor, so that's the only one that signs either instrument, correct?
Right.
That's a unilateral contract.
Yes.
So they take the deed of trust is then taken by the bank, who is the beneficiary.
Right.
And sold to mortgage company B.
Yes, the beneficiary literally converts the promissory note.
So when the beneficiary gets a hold of the promissory note, the deed of trust, in any trust you and I know about, is severed. Is that correct?
Well, it is distributed to the beneficiary, and once distributed to the beneficiary, the property is the only asset held.
So if the beneficiary receives the note or receives the proceeds of the note, then the terms and conditions of the deed of trust have been met, and the trustee has to release legal title to the grantor.
Right.
And that's not what happens, is it?
No, it's not. Usually they take it and they endorse it without liability, what they call without recourse, and they endorse it and convert it in and put it in somebody else's hands.
They being the beneficiary.
Right, the bank.
Yeah, so the minute the beneficiary takes control of any of the corpus assets, that, especially in this particular instance, nullifies the deed of trust and the title has to be returned to the promissory note holder.
Right.
But the deed of trust acts as the only lien there is. And since they can't foreclose on a promissory note, they have to have a lien or a deed of trust that they can use as an instrument in order to enact a foreclosure.
Right.
And they're not doing it. I'd say that's pretty fraudulent. What would you say?
Well, it appears to be fraud. It appears to be at least a non-disclosure of the real events that are intended to occur, and it appears to be a non-disclosure to the grantor and a policy that they know that they're going to do when they take the promissory note.
Marcia, let me ask you this. By what authority can the trustee give the beneficiary the promissory note or the deed of trust? Well, how can they take an asset out of the trust and then just give it to the beneficiary?
I don't know that.
So there's no lawful authority or legal authority to do that, is there?
Well, it seems to me that there's a whole lot of language in these in the mortgages that are set up there. And in many of them, I've seen a phrase in there that says that they can transfer without further notice to a servicing agent, or and I think that that's the provision that they're probably using as justification.
Right. Well, the way I understand it is beneficiaries can use and enjoy the assets, but they can't hold legal title to them. Is
right.
that correct?
Right.
Okay. So how are they justifying it in that the trustee is saying we're going to let you use and enjoy the benefits of these assets? The deed of trust and the note, the promissory note, but we still have legal title to them? Can they do that?
Well, they can do anything, whether it's lawful or moral or for them to do it is another question.
Because that's the crux of the question. If they can't do that, then all of the mortgage instruments and all of the way we finance our homes and property is all fraudulent.
Well, we definitely have to rethink it. You know, I'm not really ready to make a conclusion. It appears to be at least a non-disclosure issue. If I'm going to give somebody my promissory note and they're going to be taking it and using it in a manner that I did not intend, in essence, what they're doing is they're taking... There we go again.
Oh, this time you heard it. Okay,
yes.
Great. We must have bumped it on your end a little bit. We'll take
right.
a break here. We'll take your calls next hour at 800-313-9443. And we'll get on with this. I'm not clear here. I don't know if the listeners are. I can generally gauge this. If I'm in a fog, chances are some of the listeners are too. So we'll distill this down and give it to you again. We'll be right back.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order Wright Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth. Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills mold and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Something I ran across here, Bill. Gata, Indians being induced to trade their gold. India hopes to wean citizens from gold. Gee, I wonder why they're doing that. I'll cover that story in the next hour. We've got Desi back here. And I know you've got to run here in a couple of minutes, Marcia. Anything that you want to tie any loose ends up with, go ahead.
Well, if there are people who really want to start looking into some of this, that we have no right to complain by virtue of the Constitution, we can look at a case called Paddleford, Fay and Company versus the mayor and alderman of the city of Savannah, and the case number on that is 14 Georgia 438.
What's the merits of the case?
That talks about that no person has a right to complain because we're not parties to the Constitution. Also, there are places that you can look that the ultimate ownership of property is in the state. Individual so-called ownership is only by virtue of the government. There's a case, you can see State Senate Document Number 43 in the 73rd Congress, first session, and a case called Brown versus Welsh. I don't have that the site on that.
So is this why they're becoming more brazen in what they're doing, suggesting that the government and George Bush is making whistle stops right now, trying to stir up a lot of stuff on Social Security? And, of course, that keeps the heat off of him with Iraq and Afghanistan as long as we have a sideshow going on.
Well, it's more of the, you know, watch my right hand so you don't see what my left hand is doing. One of the things that we've got to understand is that Social Security is a treaty between the United States and Great Britain.
And it really has nothing to do with us.
That goes back, and the United States Bank and the districts were formed in as early as 1794 to engage in that treaty and to collect on the treaty because we became debtors to England to satisfy our debts for the war. That's why wars happen around the world, to bring everybody into the debtor position.
Okay, so the reason that we've gone over trust today is because trusts are at the base of everything. And even though it might be boring for some and it might be confusing for some, we all have to get the basic understanding of trust down so we can see which position we're in. Is that not correct?
Right, because there are levels and layers of trust, and as you begin to peel them out, you have to understand trust to get there. It's all part of peeling off our ignorance to understand who we are and where we stand in the matter of things. Because if we're running in and we're making arguments that the courts have told us repeatedly are frivolous, we have to search to find out. The judges, although we tend to want to be angry with them, they do tell us things. And when we listen and we find out what they said, just because we don't understand what they said doesn't mean they haven't told us something significant.
Well, and Marcia, yeah, I can get mad at these judges because what they're a party to is pulling the wool over the American people's eyes. And I don't have to sit in some courtroom and cryptically listen to some judge to get the keywords to understand where his mindset's at. This is not justice in America. This is not the way we were put together.
It's contract law.
Well, we could be mad at the education system, not the judges, and it'd be more effective.
Right.
All right. All right, Marcia, thank you. I appreciate you joining us today, and good luck out there, and I hope you land on both feet.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Marcia. We'll take the break. You International Shortwave listeners, that's 99.85 for the second hour of the National Intel Report. And when we come back, I want to get into a couple other aspects of this, but I want to distill this back down and repeat this for the listeners so I make sure that they're understanding. By the way, Desi, was that comment for me? Because I'm a little confused and dazed over here. Oh, okay. All right, we'll take the break. We'll be right back.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.